want to talk to you tonight. I want to teach a little bit tonight about the will of God. We're living in a time when the will of man has kind of gone amok. I mean, it's like, I want my way. No, I want my way. I'm right. No, you're right. I'm right. We're not. And there's just this constant, you know, when Richard and I got married, I know y'all can't believe this, but actually when we got married, we didn't agree on everything. It was really shocking. I mean, one small example was that my mama raised me to believe that if I slept in a draft, I would wake up with pneumonia the next day. And I married a man that can't sleep unless he can feel the eyebrows blowing on his face. And so we would be married and you know, and quickly we were past the honeymoon stage when I would go by and turn the air conditioner up and he would come by and turn the air conditioner back down and I would go by and turn it up and he would go by and turn it down. That was just one of the many things. And then we begin to discover that we didn't agree on certain issues. Actually, a lot of issues. And so it kind of became a thing of, well, am I right or are you right? I know none of y'all ever have these discussions. But there seems to be this human thing of needing to be right. You know what I'm saying? We need to be right. It's something ingrained in humanness is that we need to be right. And so we exercise our will to be right. I'm going to be right and I'm going to make them know that I'm right. Everybody's going to know that I'm right. And if they don't know it now, they'll know it later and they'll say, she was right. How many of you have ever heard of the strong-willed child? And so, what do you do with the strong-willed child? I'm caught up on my shoes here. Oh, it's in the thing. So what do you do with the strong-willed child? Do you break his will? Do you tell him he's wrong about everything? What do? You make him what?
Think he's right.
You make him think he's right?
No.
Really? If you make him think he's right, then he's going to grow up and be a strong-willed adult. So a strong-willed child is someone that wants his way. He wants his way, and he wants it all the time, instantly. Do you know what I'm saying? And so today, what we're seeing, I mean, even in the news, we're seeing strong-willed adult children. And they're all wanting their way, and they all think they're right, and they think their way is right. So I want to talk about the clash of the wills, because the will of God is the will of the Father. Jesus said, not my will, but the will of the Father. Thy will be done, not my will. So Jesus was the opposite of the strong-willed son. He was not a strong-willed son. In fact, he didn't have a will. He said, no, not my will. So he submitted his will. So what is a will? Is it the need to be right? Is it my way instead of your way? Is it what I want instead of what you want? Is to say your will be done to God, does that mean what God wants opposite what I want? That's the way I always thought about it. So I thought, well, I don't just want to be a robot. I mean, God doesn't just create us as robots. And so we just go, yes, 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 yes. This is what you say. I will do it. He doesn't want us to be robots, right? But what does that mean then? If he doesn't want us to be robots and yet we are supposed to do his will, what does that mean? So the definition of will basically is that faculty of the mind where we choose to do an action or not to do an action. So it's influenced by our mind because our mind assesses the options and decides, okay, well, this option is this option is this way, so we're going to choose this, right? And so when we choose it, then that was an act of our will carrying out the action that our mind decided, correct? So basically, the human will decides with human reason to act in human ways. And so I looked up the Latin word for will. And it's so interesting. The root word for will means to press forward or to push it forward. So that means that an expression of the will is a pushing forward. Well, we see that everywhere. People are pushing forward their will, their way, their opinion, their perspective. They've decided it's supposed to be this, and so this is what we're going to do. And that's why committees are so difficult, because everybody on the committee has a different idea and a different will. That's why, ever been on a jury? And the jury has to come to a decision, and human reasoning is making that decision. It's interesting. So the human will is the hardest of everything in our makeup to tame. It's the last thing any of us want to give up. In fact, a lot of people have a deception going on where they convince themselves that God's will is that what they want to do. They decide that what they want to do, God told them to do. And you try to argue with someone who says, God told me. I mean, that's it. It's over. Once their will decides that God told them, it's kind of like it's a conundrum. It's a puzzle that they can use God's will to say that their will to do this was right when it really wasn't God's will that they do it, because they were listening to the wrong voice. Do you understand? That's deception. Okay. So, a good pilot has a healthy fear of gravity, right? Hallelujah. I've been traveling all over the world this year, and my God knows that I want a pilot that understands gravity. But if you have a rebellious pilot who decides he can do anything he wants, it's going to be a dead pilot, right? Well, that's kind of a good analogy for God's will and for us and God's will. It's a serious thing, y'all. It's a serious thing. So now, in the Gospels, in John, we're going to look at two or three different places in John. John 5:30, Jesus says, I of myself can do nothing. Now see, we were raised, Richard says, you raise windows, you rear children. But I say, I was raised to think for myself. You raise your children to think for themselves. You raise them to be independent. You raise them to stand alone, so that when they're 18 and they go out into the cold, cruel world, it's going to be a good picture, not a bad one, right? Well, Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father. Now see, we don't seek will. We just decide. Isn't that right? We do what we want to do. I mean, I did a meeting Monday night. I was telling them Monday night, you know, I can pretty much tell whether I'm supposed to go do a meeting by how much I don't want to go. It's like that. It's like that old joke, you know, where the husband and the wife, they get up in the morning and the husband says, I just don't want to go to church. I don't want to go. And she says, you have to go. And he says, no, I don't. I don't have to go. And finally, after back and forth, he says, you have to go. You're the pastor. It's kind of that way. We just decide we want to, or we decide we don't want to. But Jesus says this, my food, my food is to do the will of my Father. Now that's a serious statement. That means that his sustenance, not just his decision, but his sustenance is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. Now, Jesus didn't come to the earth necessarily just to hang on the cross. He didn't come to the earth, you know, just to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils. That's not what he says here. This is John 4, 34 and 35. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, you and I, we've got to narrow down our possibilities here because we live in the greatest country in the world. I can tell you that. If you've never been in any other countries, take it from me. We live in the greatest country in the world. You know, I don't care if they do have Michelangelo's David in Italy. Italy has nothing on the U.S. We are the greatest country in the world. And we have more possibilities. We have more blessings. There's nothing that we can't do here. And what it does is it spoils us rotten. And so we can just go do this and 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 this. And we can just say, I'm going to do this and I like this and I like this. And what do you like to do? Well, I like to do this and I like to do that. And it never occurs to us, what is my food? My food, I'm told in the Bible to be like Jesus. I'm told that he's my example. I'm told that he's my brother. As he is, so we are in the world. So my food, what keeps me alive, is to do his will and finish his work. And we could stop right there in this teaching because it's not just for the people on the platform. It's not just for the people on the plane. It's not just for the people going to, you know, all the places I've been and all the places Joni's been all this year. It's every member of the body of Christ in the kingdom of heaven has their part.
Amen.
So, John 5:19. So then Jesus goes on and basically 19 through 23 in John 5 is all about the Father. Jesus is talking, but it's all about the Father. He says, I don't do anything that I don't see him do. He says the Father loves the Son and shows him all things. He'll show him greater works. But as the Father raises the dead, so the Son gives life. The Father judges them. It's all about the Father. So the Father gave it to the Son. The Son gave it to us. But it's all about the Father. It's not about us. It's about the Father. So, you know, even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it's your will, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So, His sole purpose is to do the will of the Father. John 6, 38 through 40 says it again. I mean, John is full of it. If we don't get it the first time, he says it again, and he says it again, and he says it again. When it's repeated in the Bible that many times, it means it's important. It's important for us to understand that we need to do the will of the Father.
Yes.
So, Romans 12, verse 2. Now, we know this scripture very, very well. And I'm reading it to you from the Amplified. Do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its superficiality, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind and its new attitude so that. Now, why? Why don't be conformed to the world? Why don't be fashioned after it? Why be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Why? So that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if we don't renew our mind, if we fashion ourselves after the world, we're never going to understand the will of God. See, we have to understand. That's why we're having this teaching tonight. We have to understand the intrinsic nature of the will of God. It's not just what He wants. Okay? It's not just that He wants something a certain way and we want it a different way. Because He's bigger than us, we have to do it His way. That's not good enough. It's so much deeper than that. So you change all that so that you may prove it's His will is good. His will is acceptable. That means we can accept it. We may not like it. We may not agree with it at first. We certainly hardly ever understand it. But it's perfect. It's perfect. And the Amplified goes on to say, what is perfect in His sight for you. So then, Matthew 12:50 says, whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and sister and mother. So see, the Son did the will of the Father because He had the same DNA. Amen. So He couldn't do something different because He had the same DNA. So when you and I begin to align, I've got some books out there, and one of them is Kingdom Alignment, because we have to align with the will of the Father and with the way the Son handled His way in the earth. And the way He handled His way in the earth was to do the will of the Father. Amen. And when He did that, He was aligning Himself properly of who He was created to be as the DNA of the Father. So when you and I align ourselves with the will of the Father, we are aligning ourselves with our proper DNA.
Amen.
So we can say all day long, we're bone of bone and flesh of flesh, and you know, we're in the family of God. But if I run out, you know, and do a snort of cocaine 5 minutes later, that means I'm not in the same DNA, because I'm not following the will of the Father. So, I was asleep. I like to sleep. My husband will tell you that. I have very low blood pressure. So when I wake up in the morning, it's like I'm waking up after general anesthesia. My husband's convinced it's zero when I wake up in the morning. So anyway, that's when the Lord chooses to give me my books. So He gets me up in the middle of the night and gives me these, you know, a lot of my books out there are, I prophesied much of them in the middle of the night. Remarkable, remarkable things. So one morning I was waking up and I had a vision. And what I saw was, it was like a, how many of you saw the movie Sphere? Anybody? It was a science fiction movie about a cylindrical sphere thing that was down in the ocean. Anyway, what I saw in my vision was similar to that. It was like a huge, immense steel spheres thing. And I said, Lord, and you know, you have that sense. I knew it was the Lord. And I said, Lord, what is this? And He said, it's the will of God. And so when He said that, I began to have knowledge come to me, a word of knowledge. And with this word of knowledge came a prophetic word that I'm going to read little by little to you as we finish this teaching on the will of God. Very profound thing. It was a steel fortress. It was high. So keep thinking. Now this is the will of God. It was a place. It wasn't just a concept or a desire or a wish. It was a place. It was a definite place. It was an indefensible, impregnable, very fortress type place. It was mysterious. It looked like understanding it would be against the mind and everything you see and know. And yet at the same time, I realized that it was enterable, that you could enter into it, although it didn't look like it, and that it was welcoming. And it made me understand that we fear the will of God because it's beyond our control. That's number one. And most of the time, it's beyond our understanding. And number three, we resist it because we want what we want. Sometimes worse than others. Number four, we have no understanding of what is the essence, the tangible presence, the intrinsic nature of the will of God. So it was interesting. I just got back from Richmond, and this is kind of an interesting little example. We arrived in Richmond, four of us. We're going to minister in my ministry that's called Great Host Ministries to Women in Leadership. And so we arrived. We were at baggage claim. We were there at 4 o'clock. We're supposed to have a meeting at 7. I wanted to go to the host home so I could, you know, change clothes, blah, blah, blah. So I got a text from the lady that was supposed to pick us up. And she says, I've lost my keys. I can't find my car keys anywhere. I've looked everywhere, and so I just can't come pick you up. It's going to be another hour and a half before I get there, and then we'll just have to go straight to the venue. And it was just on and on and on, and the Lord said, call Uber. And I thought, okay. So I pretended I was Joni, and I just got my phone out, and I went, blah, 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 and 5 minutes later, I had an Uber. So we pulled our luggage out across all the lanes of the buses and everything, and I was trying to find the pickup place, so I was looking at the signs, and the other three women went ahead with the suitcases, and I saw this man down there where we were supposed to be picked up. He jumped out of his car, and he started asking them, are you Laura? Are you Laura? And they were going, no, no, Laura's back here. Are you Laura? He saw me, he said, are you Laura? I said, yeah. He said, I'm Laura, too. His name was Laura, L-O-R-A. And he had decided, since his name was Laura and my name was Laura and I had contacted him on Uber, that we must be family. And so he said, come on, come on, get in the car. He said, this must be meant. And so I got in the front seat and I sat down by him and I said, well, you know, it was meant, obviously, because we're Christians. He said, I'm a Christian too, he said. And so we had 6 months of visiting in the 45 minutes before we got to the thing. So he asked me the one question that all Baptists at some point in their walk with the Lord ask, what do you think that is? Is it true, once saved, always saved? And so I said, listen, by now I'm prophesying. I said, listen, you need to get over this saved thing. He who sanctifies and he who is sanctified are one spirit. So you're one spirit with Jesus. Now you need to move on because there's more. Amen. He said, there's more? Really?
Fresh blood, man.
I've got a captive audience. So by the time we got where we were going, I had him fixing to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He pulls up into the drive and I looked at him and I said, you should put the car in park. So now he's shaking and he's going, oh, oh. And he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and he spoke in tongues. Now, so Laura and Laura were sitting in the front seat. But that's an example of how when I saw that my ride was, by the way, the keys, the husband at work, came home to bring his keys, and on the way he asked the Holy Spirit where the keys were, and the Lord told him they were in the trash can. So he walked into the house, walked straight over to the trash can, walked down, and brought out the keys. So that's a perfect picture of the will of God in action. Because I was not happy when I got this text saying, I can't be there till 5:30. And I mean, you know, and at that moment I was having to eat rice and my diet and I couldn't go through the Jack in the Box and I was starving and I wanted to go to the home. What I wanted was not what happened. But what God wanted, what God's will brought to pass, affected a man for the rest of his life. I mean, you can't make that stuff up. I mean, really. Okay, so the Lord told me this is a prophetic word. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read part of it. And I believe this is the word of the Lord on the will. What is the intrinsic nature of the will of God? The will of the Lord has been challenged, resisted, railed against. Humans have butted their heads against it. Yet still it stands like a cool fortress in the face of disaster, like a bulwark in the storm, and like a refuge which never moves. The will of God is a refuge. We need to begin to change our perspective about the nature of the will of God. It is perfect. It is perfect for us. Therefore, if we are in the will of God, we are in the perfect place. And it is a refuge. You always know where to find the will of God. But it's not a destination just to reach and enjoy and looking at its riches. It's a place of destiny, unbending and sure against all odds and all circumstances. Man must learn that the will of the Father is a safe haven and a harbor in which to dock your ship and unload its burden. See, we're afraid of the will of God. We're afraid it's going to mean, you know, take your 13 children and go to Africa and be a missionary. No. But that's the kind of fear that we have because we can't control it, because we can't understand it, because it doesn't make sense to our natural mind. But you can't separate God the Father from His will. You can't separate it. So it's a safe haven. The will of God is an active force. It will permeate your being, cleansing it of the willfulness and changeableness of a divided heart. It will heal the unstable and ground the weak. You take a drug addict, you take an alcoholic. Their will is choosing over and over and over that which is going to cause death. When they enter that fortress of the perfect will of God, they're going to be cleansed. Because in the will of God is everything that He is. And in the will of God, they will be healed. They will be delivered. Standing outside of the will of God, they're going to be a prey and a victim to everything that tries to destroy. If you're looking for answers, God's will just is. He says, I am that I am. So His will just is. His will doesn't fight for its right. His will doesn't try to convince. will doesn't insist. His will is. It is. So if you're looking for answers, the will of the source of all power is the answer. Contained in it is the sum total answer of all questions, all wonderings, all challenge, all unbelief, all suicidal and atheistic regimes. It's so interesting. When this part of the word came, I saw the vicious hatred that we're seeing in our world today. I saw the vicious words. These vicious, suicidal, violent words and regimes. It says they've all flown against the steel-like tower of the will of God and been absorbed by His nature. He's not frightened. He's not nervous. He's not affected by it at all. It doesn't matter what they do. He's not affected by it. The will of God is impenetrable. It is a mighty force. They hit its implacable exterior and disappear, never to be seen again. The nature of the divine annihilates them as though they never existed. See, we hear the violence, we hear the anger, the hatred, and it frightens us. God is not frightened. So we retreat into the refuge of the safety of the will of God. We're in the will of God. Nothing can touch us. Amen. There is no fight, no defense, no resistance. These things that are going against God, basically, it's the Antichrist spirits going against God, they don't bounce off. They disappear into His infiniteness. He is not changed by hate. He is not deflected from His path. He is not ruined or hurried or concerned or nervous. His will stands forever unchanged as all of it tries to move an immovable God. He's immovable. You know what, many years ago when I was growing up in Charismania, we sang this song. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. In this hour, hidden in the will of God, we won't be moved. He watches, ever faithful, ever vigilant, knowing in His omniscience that His love is all that can change the hell of man's tortured existence. And so His will stands and stands and stands, and His love broadcasts through it like the lighthouse on a rocky shore, never wavering, never blinking, never moving, but constant, steadfast, and permeated with hope. The will of the Father is the hope of the world. It is the guide and radar of the darkness of this present age. Instead of flouting and resisting and bucking His will, let us seek it. Let us desire it. Let's pray for it. Let's hope for it. Let's ask for it as our lifeline in a world gone mad. Let us reach it in our journey and let the will of God envelop us, cover us, permeate us. Think about it, to be permeated. You know what that means? To have every part of your being permeated with the will of God. To be permeated until we too are steadfast and immovable and strong in His strength. The will of God is our place to reside. It's the will of God that is our fortress. It's the will of God that is our comfort. It's our warmth. We don't want to talk about warmth when it's 100 degrees outside. However, in about 3 months, we'll look for it. It's our warmth. It's the fire of His will. We can step into, literally, we can step into, we can step out of that immovable, implacable fortress. It's not just what He wants. It's who He is. It's not just who we, what we want against what He wants, because we'll lose, like the pilot in Gravity. I mean, really, that's a really good analogy. He's going to lose if he fights gravity. And I don't want to be on his plane when he does it. I've traveled so much in these 30 years that I always had people asking me, do you like to fly? Do you like to fly? And I always said, I hate it. I hate flying. And then one time I was answering that, and I felt the Lord go up. And I went, yes. And He said, it's not flying you hate. I said, yeah, what is it? And He said, it's fear. And I went, ooh, because I was smart enough to know that meant I had to do something about that. You know, when so much is flying in the atmosphere, and so much of it bad, so much of it negative, so much of it inflammatory, we have to be secure. We have to be secure of our DNA. We have to be secure. I grew up, you know, in a Baptist church, and I'm so grateful for all that I learned. I'm so grateful for the word that I was raised in. I'm very grateful. But there was such a duty element that I was taught, and I couldn't, my duty button wore out. We can't be motivated by what we should do. We have to be motivated by who we are. Amen. And who we know we are, and who we know God is, and who we and be so. I just pray right now, Lord, I just pray that You give us revelation. Yes, Holy Spirit, right now You guide us into all truth. I ask You to give us revelation of Your will, that we understand and we're able to change our perspective of Your will and what it means in our life, and how we discern it, and how we enter that fortress.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.